Last night, I came into the living room and my wife Hannah was watching Back in Time for Christmas. And as I was watching the program, I thought, wow, there might be a message in this for the Carols by Candlelight service. And it wasn't until I was halfway through preparing a message that I looked it up just to watch bits of it again for content, and realized that Hannah was actually watching it on iPlayer rather than on proper TV. And so what I thought was a brand new program was actually made 4 years ago. And so my message this evening isn't quite as current as I hoped that it would be. But this Back in Time for Christmas is an extension of a previous series where a family have been selected to look through the life of British people over different decades over the course of the 20th century. And for this special, this two-part special, they look at how Christmas was celebrated in the UK from the 1940s through to the 1990s. And many differences were highlighted. So, for example, at the beginning of the program, where they are celebrating a 1940s Christmas, they make up a Christmas dinner. But rather than having the turkey or ham that we might be used to, because of the rationing in the 1940s, the mum prepared for the family an ox heart as the highlight of their Christmas dinner. But then forward on to the 1990s, and everything has improved in terms of the food that is consumed at Christmas time. And so on this occasion, the now late Gary Rhodes creates eggs royale for the family. And what's quite funny is that the dad in the family, after he has eaten this eggs royale, his comment to Gary Rhodes is, "You know what, this is the best Christmas breakfast I've ever had." You'd think if Gary Rhodes was making it, it surely would be, really, wouldn't you? So food dramatically changed at Christmas time over the decades, but so did decoration. In the 40s or maybe in the 50s, there was a new decoration which was created, which was supposed to look like fake snow. This fake snow could be put on your windowsills, it could be played around with the children. The fake snow was made out of asbestos. If you were alive at that time, well done for being here tonight. Fast forward to the 1990s, and the family are putting outside of their house really fantastic neon lights. So in decoration, it had really moved on as well. And something that I found particularly interesting as a football fan was how leisure time changed over the decades as well. So in the 40s and 50s, it would be tradition, after you've had your Christmas lunch on Christmas Day, to go out and watch a football match. But if you follow football today, you'll know that all the games are played on Boxing Day rather than on Christmas Day. So from this program, we see how the nation has changed, how culture has changed, and also how we have changed as well. And through watching that program, I started to reflect on how, without me really properly realizing it, my Christmases had changed from year to year, from 1986, my first Christmas, through to this year. One example of the changes that there have been in my lifetime have been the presents that are given. Back in the early 90s, the present that I wanted, just like most little boys and girls wanted at Christmas time, was a Thunderbird's Tracy Island. And maybe some of you remember the great shortage that there was and all the parents that were driving from one Toys R Us to the next Toys R Us, frantically looking for a Tracy Island. So much so that with the shortage that there was on Blue Peter, they created their own version out of cardboard and toilet rolls, which obviously wasn't quite as good. But that at that early age, that anticipation, that hope for that perfect gift, and looking through the Argos catalogue, picking out all the things that I wanted, obviously didn't get it all. But there was such a desire for me to have certain presents, to the point today where I really couldn't be bothered at all about what presents I get. Maybe, like some of you, you just keep on getting text messages from your mum saying, "Do you know what you want for Christmas yet?" And I'm like, "I just really don't know." So that's a real change in my life in terms of presents. Christmas mornings are very different as well, where I used to wake up with incredible anticipation at maybe 4 or 5 in the morning, waiting for my parents to get up, or maybe running into my parents' bedroom so that we could go downstairs to see what Father Christmas had brought me. There was great excitement at that time. But nowadays, when I wake up on Christmas Day, because it's cold, I just want to stay in bed and I'm not that bothered about going down. So presents for me are different. Christmas morning is different, but also the dining table is different as well. Up until a few years ago, I would be having Christmas dinner in the company of 3 of my grandparents. Sadly, that no longer happens. But this year, next to me will be a high chair, and I will be feeding my baby daughter. My dining table is very different now than what it was just a few years ago. In this program, Back in Time for Christmas, it discussed how church attendance had changed over the decades as well. And their claims were that in the 1950s, 3/4 of people would attend church over Christmas time. But that today, regular church attendance, so it's measuring something slightly differently, so we have to take that into account. They say that average church attendance is just 4% of the country. And it makes me ask the question to you this evening: how have your church habits changed as we've gone from one Christmas to another? Perhaps there's been no change in your church attendance or commitment or attitude at all. Maybe the food that you eat has changed. Maybe the decorations that you have changed. Maybe the presents that you give and receive have changed. Maybe your family has changed from Christmas to Christmas. But coming along to church at Christmas time is one constant that you've been able to keep going. Maybe there's been no change. Maybe it's decreased over the years. Maybe previously your parents would be encouraging you to go along to a Christmas service, but now you have the choice and you have less expectation, if you do come along to church, of what might happen. Maybe there's been no change. Maybe it's decreased. Maybe, hopefully, for some of us, it has increased in terms of our attitude towards coming to church at Christmas time. Perhaps as time has gone by, as Christmas has gone to another Christmas, your relationship with Jesus Christ has become stronger, and you found yourself being more devoted to praising him and to serving him. Many come to Christmas services year after year, singing similar carols, listening to similar Bible readings, hearing the same gospel shared. And whilst it is good for us to keep many of the Christmas traditions the same, I'd love us this year to think slightly differently and to think how we might develop so that when it comes round to next Christmas, we might be in a different place in terms of our relationship with Jesus and also with his church. I'd love us to move on from hearing the good news at Christmas time to being the good news all year round. It's great that we can gather together and hear about Jesus coming to earth, how he came to earth and revealed God himself to those around him, that would then be recorded and would be shared around the world for thousands of years to come. It's wonderful that we can gather together to reflect on what it means for Jesus to be coming as a baby and his example as he grew in wisdom and in stature and with favour amongst men and women. But I'd like to suggest to you that the Christian goal isn't just to keep on coming to church and hearing the same gospel message year after year. It's not so much about hearing the message, but about becoming the message, becoming the good news to other people. When the angelic visitation happened to the shepherds, an angel said this to them, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Hearing about the actions and the promises of God at Christmas, one time of year, is definitely a good thing. But imagine what the effect, what the ripple effect could be if rather than just hearing about it once a year, we decided to actually share the good news and be the good news of God in Christ for the other 364 days a year, in our words and in our actions. Imagine what great joy we could be spreading around those whom we love. Hopefully, through what I've shared and through the clip that we watched, it's helped you just to reflect a little bit on what past Christmases have been for you. But now I'll take a moment to think about what next Christmas might mean to you, what changes might happen in 2020. Maybe the food that you eat will change. There's certainly a big move, isn't there, towards having a plant-based diet. And maybe if we're eating turkey this year, we'll be eating some kind of substitute next year. What about presents? Maybe as we're more concerned about the environment, we might feel like we should be less indulgent in what we buy for ourselves and what we ask for ourselves, but also what we buy for others as well, as we seek to reduce the waste. Maybe what might change by this time next year will be the family that you have around your table. But also, when you think about Christmas next year, how might your faith be different from the way it is now? Perhaps it will be the same. Perhaps it will be less relevant in your life. Or maybe, just maybe, your faith might become more joyous, might become more meaningful, might become more impactful as you become the good news of Jesus Christ. At a Carols by Candlelight service, one of the key things that we do is we light candles. And we often encourage you to share a message with the person that you're passing your flame to. Often we will encourage you to say the phrase, "Behold the light of the world." We say it to remind one another that Jesus became the light in a very dark place. Though Jesus did say and did reveal himself as the light of the world, he also said something else at another time. He said, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." God's desire isn't to do wonderful things, keep our world spinning, bless us in so many different ways, just for us to sit back and watch what he does and maybe hear about it. He wants to involve us in his work of bringing light to a dark world. May we stop being content with hearing the good news a couple of times a year. And may we be encouraged, would we be compelled to become the good news of Jesus Christ. And so as we think about the message of what I've shared, what we've read, what we've sung, we are now going to share the light with one another. And so as Martha and Olga come to the front and take the flame from me and it is passed around, rather than saying, "Behold the light of the world this year," let's do it a little bit differently. Let's give one another an encouragement, but also a challenge. As we share the flame with our neighbour, let's declare to them, "You are the light of the world."